For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. And as ever, I'm your host, Harry Simi. I'm delighted to be joined by the main man, Vittorio Campanile. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks, Harry. How are you?
Good. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. And the football's getting exciting all around Europe, Vittorio. We've got the race for the Champions League in England. We've got the race for the title in Spain. And in Italy, there is still plenty to be decided as well. And that Champions League race is really, really hotting up. We'll start off with Milan, who, of course, were held by Cagliari to a 0-0 draw at San Siro. And it was a game that had Milan won, they'd have pretty much been able to play out a draw with Atalanta on the final week of the season. And the pair of them could have, I'm not suggesting any match fixing, but the pair of them could have got together and stopped Juve qualifying for the Champions League. But as it stands, it is on, Vittorio, for Juventus still.
Yeah, and it's surprising because Cagliari is already safe and they played against Milan knowing that the relegation fight for them is over. They will stay in Serie A next year. So, you know, we were expecting a Cagliari team a little bit more relaxed. And, you know, everybody was thinking, okay, Cagliari doesn't have to win anymore, doesn't have to get points anymore. So probably for Milan, it would be an easier match than that it should have been. Because, you know, if you play against a team that is still fighting for relegation, it's complicated. But with Cagliari safe, I mean, everybody was thinking, well, Milan is going to win this, qualify for the Champions League, and it's going to be a terrific season for Pioli and the rest of the team. Instead, we saw a team that was frightened. They were scared. And so even if Cagliari had nothing to ask for, Milan didn't find a way to score. And I don't know, Harry, it's concerning because let's not forget that Milan was top of the table in January. You know, people was talking back then that Milan could fight for the Scudetto. And now they're really risking to not reach the Champions League because Juventus have beaten Inter. This, for me, was another surprise. Napoli and Atalanta are winning easily. Atalanta is already qualified. So, you know, from winning the league in January to the last match of Serie A to qualify for the Champions League, I mean, I believe a lot of Milan players and fans will have nightmares till the weekend.
Absolutely. And it wasn't Milan's kind of title challenge. You know, I know we talked about it lots of times on this show and we discussed the fact that Milan were punching above their weight. But to go from leading the Serie A for 17 weeks of the season, Milan were at the top of the table, to now be in a position where their Champions League status for next season is in doubt. If they do miss out, Vittorio, it would be a huge failure on Milan's part, a huge failure on Pioli's part. And I was putting together a piece yesterday for 90 Min about Milan and about sort of, I was trying to look into why I think that Milan are where they are now in comparison to where they were, as you say, back in January. I think there's an over-reliance on somebody like Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And I know he's a great player, but at 39 years old, he should be an addition. He should be somebody that help gives you that extra 15-20% that gets you over the line rather than being your hopes. And he is Milan's hopes. And without him, they've really, really struggled.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right about that. Can we say that Ibrahimovic didn't show the lack of talent AC Milan has, especially on front, because first half of the season, Ibra was scoring a lot of goals, getting a lot of penalties, and so on. But the other players didn't show up. And now that Ibra is injured, we are seeing that Çalhanoğlu, that people at January believe was the best midfielder in Serie A, is struggling. Rebic, we are seeing that without Ibrahimovic, well, he's not scoring that much anymore. Leao is not a number nine. So Mandzukic, we said it, signing Mandzukic after a year where he hardly played was a huge risk, and it didn't pay out. So Ibra, it's a very old player, we can say like that, but he's been one of the key of success of AC Milan, but nobody could expect Ibrahimovic playing every single match this year. And now you see that if you rely too much on a player when he's out, Milan is struggling. I think Milan defense is quite good. Donnarumma is probably is the best Italian goalkeeper. They have a good defense. Pioli has been good in that. But moving forward, they really struggle. They don't have a real number nine. And you see, Cagliari was able to help them to no goal. And this is a problem, I think, for AC Milan going forward. And remembering that Ibra has just renewed the contract for next season. So if they don't go to the Champions, if they don't qualify for the Champions League, I think they won't have enough money to go and buy another number nine to replace Ibra, giving a little bit of rest next season.
Yeah, and of course, he's got that injury as well now that's going to keep him out of the European Championships as well. So you wonder how long it's going to take Zlatan Ibrahimovic, as you say, just after he signed a new contract, to get back to the level at which he can help Milan. So look, if they manage to get over the line, which they could still do, you know, then of course it would, you'd have to look back on the season and say it was a success. Stefano Pioli's remit at the start of the campaign would have been to get Milan back in the Champions League. But the point we're making here is not that Milan's season is definitely going to go up in smoke, but that it should have been done and dusted weeks ago. It should have been, there should have been no doubt about whether this season was going to end in success or failure. And the fact there is doubt going into week 38 is a huge, huge concern.
Especially seeing how Juventus is playing, because, you know, if Juventus would have played like last year or the last nine season, you would say, hey, Juventus is a much better team. They're playing great football. They deserve to go there. But Juventus is another team that has been struggling this year badly, and fighting with them till the last day of the Serie A season, it proves you that something went wrong. Now I know it's funny because till February, a lot of journalists and fans were saying, ah, Pioli, it's a great manager. What a success he has. And now the question marks, well, the rumors that he could be sacked at the end of the season. So, you know, football is very funny because 2 months ago, Pioli was a hero and now he's not. Again, Juventus has a big chance. They beat Inter. So, you know, they can reach the Champions League final, the Champions League spot. And Milan has to play against Atalanta. It's true that Atalanta is already qualified for the Champions League, but I think Atalanta will try to beat Milan anyway. So it's not going to be very easy for AC Milan to win.
Absolutely. Let's move on to Juventus, who, of course, beat Inter by 3-2. Vittorio mentioned that it was a surprise result, and it was a game that was had VAR at the center of it. VAR,
oh my.
Was extremely controversial. Juan Cuadrado got a couple of goals for Juventus. Ronaldo got the other one. Lukaku, of course, for Inter, as well as a Chiellini own goal just 6 minutes from time. It was a crazy game, but it was a great watch, wasn't it, Vittorio?
Yes. Can I say that I was expecting Inter to play like it was a Champions League final? Antonio Conte coming back to Juventus Stadium to prove everybody wrong. You send me away and I won the Scudetto with your enemy. So I was expecting Inter really fighting like a Champions League final. So I was a little bit surprised to see Inter playing not like a friendly match, but not we didn't see the same Inter in that match. So I was surprised. On the other side, Juventus definitely play much better than we saw in the last couple of weeks. So they know they have a chance. They know they have to win all the matches, and they did. The VAR, what can we say about Calvarese? I thought that he made so many mistakes from both sides, to be honest. I know a lot of fans said, Calvarese helped Juventus and so on. I'm not sure. I thought the both penalty was a little bit soft. Even the last one of Cuadrado was a little bit soft. But I didn't see Calvarese doing it on purpose to help Juventus, because otherwise he would have sent off Bentancur in the second half. The surprising thing is Inter in the second half was one man up, and pretty much never shot on target, even if they had one player more than Juventus. So this for me was the biggest surprise. I didn't expect to see Inter playing like that. But what can we say? Pirlo is still alive. Juventus has still a big chance to reach in the Champions League, which honestly, a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't expecting that. So it's going to be an exciting last day of Serie A. And this is probably unexpected, because with Inter winning the Scudetto like 1 month ago, we were expecting that everything would have been done before the end of the season. Instead, Champions League fight is on, relegation fight is on. So it's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. So just for those of you who maybe don't know, the final game, see Atalanta take on Milan in Bergamo. So just a short trip for Milan, down the road, in fact, as their Champions League fate stares them in the face. And Juventus, of course, they travel to Bologna on the final day. So it'd be interesting to see how those two games pan out. And I'm sure we'll be keeping a very close eye on them. Elsewhere this weekend, Vittorio, Roma 2, Lazio 0. I know it would have been a painful one for you. I've got to be honest, I only caught the last 20 or 25 minutes of this because I was watching the Cyprus Cup final. Yes, I know I'm sad, but it was a big deal in Cyprus. So I was watching that and I flicked over to Roma Lazio. Disappointing result for Lazio. It felt like the Roma players, again, you know, when people talk about them not being behind Paolo Fonseca, it felt like this was a nice going away gift for Fonseca. And you must be disappointed as a Lazio fan with the way that turned out, because had Lazio won that, obviously they had a game in hand as well. They could have at least closed the gap on the top five, top six.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, especially because this is probably the worst Roma of the last 10 years, to be honest. So Lazio should have beat Roma. Instead, Roma played like this was a final. Lazio played like it was a friendly match. And you can see it, especially in the second half. When Roma went ahead, the match was pretty much over. Lazio didn't create any chances. So Roma deserved to win. Big credit to them. The season was pretty much over for both teams. Lazio hardly had a chance to qualify for the Champions League. They wasted everything losing against Fiorentina last week. So, and you can see it on the players. Lazio players look like already thinking about the Euros coming up. While Roma, yeah, Fonseca is done. Mourinho is going to come. But they played for the manager probably in the derby. And this was good to see for Roma fans, seeing Roma playing a good level, good football, and deserving to win, honestly. So it won't change the season for Roma, because they have no chance to pass Lazio, which was probably the last goal of the season for Roma. Now they have to fight to get in the Confederation League, because Sassuolo is there, is closing up. So again, the last day of the Serie A will be interesting even for that, because Roma wants at least to qualify for a European competition, but they have to keep an eye on Sassuolo that's playing against Lazio. So, you know, Lazio could make a favor to Roma.
What's your feelings on Simone Inzaghi? Because I know we've talked a lot about this impending new contract and that Simone Inzaghi is going to stay at the club. I know he's been linked with jobs away from Rome as well. Where do you stand on it? Because whatever you say, this has been a disappointing season for Lazio, right? There must be a feeling of being a little bit underwhelmed by where Lazio are going to finish and how it's all gone. Are you still 100% sure, I guess, is my question, that he is the man to take the team forward?
No, I'm not 100% sure. He's been linked even with Tottenham. So, and it looks like
he doesn't want to go there. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but it looks like Bukis says that he's the first choice. So that's interesting. I honestly think that he's waiting to see what happens at Juventus. We know that I think Pirlo is not going to stay. But even Napoli, because we know that Gattuso doesn't want to stay. They qualified for the Champions League. They're fighting for the Champions League while Gattuso is talking with Fiorentina. But there could be a landing spot for Simone Inzaghi. So Juventus and Napoli. My impression is he's waiting to see what happens there, and then he will decide if to stay at Lazio or not. From my point of view is that this season hasn't been great. I thought Inzaghi made a couple of mistakes. He's still one of the best Italian manager, my point of view. But this year he made a couple of mistakes. And the other thing is, unfortunately, the Ferguson era is over. It's impossible to see a manager staying 8, 9, 10 years at the same club. I think after 3, 4 years, the level of response from the team drops. And yeah. I think we saw it a little bit this year with Lazio. Some of the key players didn't perform as expected. The only thing a manager can do is change completely the team, sell 6, 7, 8 players, bring up new players so that they are fresh and you can restart a cycle with new players. Otherwise, I think it won't work. So my biggest concern, honestly, is not if Inzaghi leaves. It is who will replace Inzaghi. We know that Lazio usually doesn't go and sign experienced manager. They go and maybe sign youngsters, manager that have done good job, but in second division and things like that. So, you know, that's my biggest concern is in Rome, you need an experienced manager. So I'm scared about who will be taking the job of Simone Inzaghi, honestly.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It's a bit like when Arsene Wenger was leaving Arsenal. You kind of got to the point where you thought it should happen.
Yeah.
But you were worried about what was going to follow. And that worry has proven to be justified given where Arsenal find themselves now. Moving back to Italy, though, a couple of other results for you. Genoa 3, Atalanta 4. Atalanta, the great entertainers. And since we last spoke, Vittorio, they have qualified for the Champions League. Another successful season playing this incredibly entertaining brand of football. And they're just not getting enough credit, in my opinion, from the rest of Europe about how good they bloody are.
Yes, not only. 3 years in a row, they qualify for the Champions League. The first year, they arrived fourth. Last year, third. This year, they're fighting for the second place. So not only they're confirming themselves, they're doing each year much better. And they have to play the Coppa Italia final. Be careful, because they can win the first title. So, you know, terrific season for Atalanta. A lot of people talk about the manager, Gasperini. But I think it's not only the manager. The club, it's great. The Primavera, the under-18 team of Atalanta, has always been one of the best in Italy and in Europe. And every year, new players come up from the academy and they prove to be Serie A ready, which is really difficult. They go and sign players that hardly anybody know, and they immediately start and play really well. They sell players and sign new players that are even better. And then, of course, there's Gasperini. That is a great manager. Experience. He play terrific football. And so, yeah, it's all the mix about Atalanta that it's unbelievable. And again, I think they will try to win against Milan, because what achievement it would be for them to finish the season second, ahead of Juventus, ahead of Milan, ahead of Napoli, who spend much more money than Atalanta. So, an incredible achievement. And let's not forget that in Champions League, they passed the group phase and they put up a challenge for Real Madrid. So, even in Europe, they're playing better. And with the money they will get from the Champions League, I think next year they will be even a better team. So maybe next year they will fight for the Scudetto.
Who knows? I wouldn't put it past them, put it that way. No, I wouldn't rule them out of anything. Let's quickly touch on Napoli, another win for them, 2-0 win at Fiorentina. They were made to work quite hard for it, to be fair, but goals from Insigne and Venutio in goal saw them take all 3 points. You've got to give major credit to Gattuso, because, you know, it looked just months ago like he was going to be shown the door. It looked as though he'd sort of broken that relationship between himself and De Laurentiis at the top. And all of a sudden, Napoli got their heads down, got to work, and they have a very good chance of qualifying for the Champions League going into the final day, which is some turnaround, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And it's funny that a manager that reached this target, right? Napoli's goal was reaching the Champions League. And they did it pretty much. And even like this, Gattuso wants to leave. So this tells you that we said Atalanta, great club, a great manager, great players. I think the biggest problem of Napoli is the club. I think the owner, De Laurentiis, it's really tough to work with. And the fact that Gattuso, even if he qualifies for the Champions League, wants to leave, and rumors are Gattuso will go to Fiorentina, that is not the same level of Napoli, tells you that people are so annoyed of working with De Laurentiis that they prefer to go to a smaller club than keep working with him. So I think Gattuso did a great job. I think, honestly, the team was really, really good, especially from the attacking stand of point of view. They had a lot of quality players. But yeah, you know, it was a difficult season. They had a lot of players injured all at the same time. So we have to say that Gattuso had a good season.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He has done brilliantly, to be fair to him. Just one more club I want to just touch on before we wrap up. I want to touch on Sampdoria, because I remember last season we were talking quite a bit about Sampdoria's troubles. I had a quick glance at the table last season just to remind myself, and Sampdoria finished in 15th. They were just 7 points clear of the drop zone, which was obviously not good enough for a club of that size. Claudio Ranieri, though, has done a really, really good job there. And they're on course, well, they're going to finish in 9th place in Serie A. Again, another manager who has come in and taken the club to a much higher level, been able to find that consistency that they were lacking last season. He's tightened them up defensively. You know, goal scoring still been a bit of an issue, I would say, for Sampdoria, but it's a really solid job again, isn't it? And they deserve credit for getting the right man in and steadying the ship, because they were in danger of falling away.
Yeah, definitely. Ranieri came in and Sampdoria was fighting for relegation. They were really struggling. And then Ranieri come in and Sampdoria finally stay in Serie A. And this year he improves. He's a very experienced manager. He's not going to be like Sarri. It's not going to be Sarri ball. You're not going to be amazed by their type of football, but they are a very solid team. It's really hard to beat Sampdoria. You have to play very well. They're not going to allow you to do anything. And, you know, he has Quagliarella, that is a very experienced player, still able to score. They brought in Candreva from Inter. They have a couple of quality players, but let's be honest, the secret is Ranieri. His experience, his ability to, you know, read the match, that's really important, prepare very well the match. And Sampdoria, it's a team that deserved to be in that position. Again, it looked like Ranieri had issue. He wasn't sure of staying with Sampdoria. Again, we are talking about another owner who is a little bit like De Laurentiis, a little bit crazy. And so Ranieri wasn't really happy about that. Now they are talking for sign a new contract. I think Ranieri deserves a new contract and a new opportunity. Maybe even with a bigger club that has, you know, target to go back to Europa League, because I think Ranieri deserved to do this. Talking about Ranieri, he took Roma a couple of years ago, and Roma was really going badly, and he did a decent job. He took Sampdoria, again, in a critical situation, and Ranieri did an incredible job. This manager doesn't get credit, especially in Italy. I know in England people loved him from what he did with Leicester, but in Italy he looks like, you know, now we love to talk about new manager, rising stars, you know, these youngsters that play 4-3-3, very offensive mind football. But at the end of the day, Ranieri does the job without too many fussing or strange things. And you have to simply appreciate the man.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more, Vittorio. There's no doubt about it. Right, we're going to leave it there. A big thank you to everybody who's joined us. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. Make sure you share it on the social media platforms. Follow us at Simply Serie A on Twitter. You can follow Vittorio at Vittorio Campa. And we'll be back very, very soon with more content, I'm sure. And we'll be looking back on that, on what promises to be a fantastic finale next weekend. So early next week, we'll be dropping a new episode and we'll be rounding up the Serie A season, which has, as always, been a very, very good one. Until next time, take care. All the best. Ciao.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.